Hebrews chapter 3. We'll start reading at verse 7. It says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved? 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." And let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you for this opportunity to look at the precious Word of God and to read it, to meditate upon it, to preach it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply these things to our hearts. Help us to understand it. I pray that, Lord, you would help us to be changed by the Word of God today and every day. I pray that you would help us to live by the Word of God. I pray, Father, that you would help us to do what we're supposed to do to be closer to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7 tells me that, it says here, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice." All right. That tells me God's speaking. Today if you will hear his voice. Brother Strongman up in Huntsville, at Highview Baptist Church, he said when he preached for us here, he quoted me. And I thought, wow, somebody actually quoted me. But when I was up there, before we started the church, and I don't even remember saying this, but I had been in the book of Jonah, and that's the message I preached on about Jonah. And it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And all of a sudden, that impacted him, because I said that every Lord's Day, when we stand here in church, I said, the word of the Lord is here. So he came, and he said, well, that was a great thing. He said, I remembered, you know, Brother John said that. So he said, that just stuck with me. But, you know, when we have the Bible, we have God's words. And they're right here. And what wouldn't it be awful to have God speaking and for us to not listen? We open the Word of God, and we read it. And sometimes our mind's someplace else. And sometimes, you know, our eyes are moving, but it's not getting in. Sometimes we'll be listening to a message and we'll still be thinking about something else. And we're not concentrating on the message. And that's easy to do, but we need to get our minds centered on the Word of God and see what God has to say to us. If I said, all right, you know, get here tonight, we're going to surefire away, 3 steps to $1 million. You know, now, some of us, we'd come, you know, we'd get our pads and we'd get our pens out. Step number one, you know. Step number two, and we'd be thinking about it. What do I have to do? And, you know, I want to know all the intricate little details so I can get this $1 million. But when it's how to live the Christian life or whatever, or for an unsaved person, how to be saved and know it. That's for another day. But it says, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. What's he talking about? Verse 9 tells us, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. What we're talking about is those days in the wilderness with Moses' leadership, under his leadership, that the people of Israel were wandering around the desert for 40 years. And what works? Well, I mean, you could see that God was there. Every day there's manna. There's the food. All they had to do was go out and get it. There's the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, God's presence. They knew those things. And also the idea of their shoes never wearing out, their clothes not wearing out. What a miracle. Can you imagine wearing the same thing for 40 years? What if you were 10 when you went out there And then you're 50 and you're still wearing the same clothes. Think about that. I mean, if I was 10 and I had my clothes, I mean, I wouldn't be able to get one leg in my pants, you know. I mean, how did that work? And it wasn't that they got, well, shredded because the person grew. Think of that. The clothes grew. Think of the shoes. I mean, when I was 10, my foot was probably, I don't know, two-thirds the size it is now. I have no idea. And so the shoes growing, the clothes growing. That's interesting. And how God did those things, took care of them. And he says, they saw my works 40 years. But what did they do? They tempted God. Moses, the meekest man, was so enraged eventually that it caused him to sin. That's how bad it was. And it was ultimately directed towards God. Verse 10 says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. God had a plan for them. It was laid out. Here's what you're supposed to do. And they would fight. They would butt their head up against the thing, the wall, as it were, and just, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. They tempted him. They proved him. In verse 9 it says, they do always err in their heart. That's where it starts. What would God say about us? What would he say about the modern Christian generation today, which we know as a Church of Laodicea? He said, oh, there's a church that loves me. There's a church that, you know, has a heart for souls. There's a heart for missions. Hopefully, you could say that. But he says here, when I was grieved with that generation, and these were God's people, and what were they doing? Complaining, murmuring. Remember, they, all we have is this lousy manna. You know, why don't we have flesh? And, well, he gave them the flesh, enough of it. You know, it was in their teeth, you know. They died. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. They didn't know the ways of God. Do we know his ways? The Bible says his ways are past finding out. But he has made some things very plain for us, and yet we don't walk in those ways. Does that grieve God? I believe it does. When we don't pray, we don't read the Bible, if we don't witness to anybody, we don't do the simple things that are laid out. You can say, what are 10 things that a Christian should do if we were just to name them out? Well, this is one thing we should do. This is something we're supposed to do. Well, this is a command. And if we ignore those things, then you can make your own list. Think about what it might be. Maybe you do them. Maybe you don't. Maybe we do some. Maybe we do half of them. But what is it? I saw on the church's website, they said the complete Christian. And this is not anything difficult. It's not like praying 3 hours a day. It was just, what are the things you're supposed to do to be a complete Christian? He says, they have not known my ways. Well, we know it, but we often don't do it. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. God is long-suffering, but there comes a point where he's not going to go any further. This verse is the one that struck me out of all of this passage. And if you just read that without reading the rest, it's quite shocking. Take heed, brethren. Okay, this is not take heed, Israel. This is here now to the Christian. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And that's a scary verse. Now, it's obviously something that is not going to come along. Oh, well, there's trouble. I see it. It's something we got to take heed of. It's not going to be easily recognized. It's going to come on kind of slowly. You know, nobody just decides from one day they're serving God to the next day I'm totally backslidden. The devil doesn't need to take you and take you from a place of service to a place of no service where you're totally backslidden and living for the devil. He just wants to say, just move a little bit. Just compromise that one step. Just neglect that one area. And then it's easier to get you to neglect the next area. And then, well, that's not so bad, that sin. And it just goes and goes and goes. Take heed. Be careful. Watch out. Stand fast. Brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. And that, what does that heart of unbelief cause? Departing from the living God. Causes you to depart, to leave God. We're not talking about losing your salvation. We're talking about being anywhere near God. But having that evil heart of unbelief, is that talking about unbelief that the fact that God exists? No. Unbelief in what God says. Because if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts, because what the end result is going to be, there's going to be a heart, an evil heart of unbelief. So, if I was to go in this room over here and ask the children, does God answer prayer? Yes. If I ask in here, does God answer prayer? I'd say, oh yeah, absolutely. Okay, tell me the last prayer you got answered. What's the last major prayer request you asked God for? And we'd be, well, yeah, there was this and there's that. But do we go believing to God in prayer? Do we go before God and say, here it is, God. I know you can answer. I know you can save this lost loved one. I know you can restore this backslidden person. I know that you can heal this person. Do we go like that to God? He said, well, He's not going to do it anyway. I mean, you know, He's not going to answer prayer. We know God doesn't answer prayer. We'd never say that, but we think that in our heart. And even if we don't want to ever articulate it that way, we certainly act that way. The Bible says in the Old Testament, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and we use that for atheists. But we, as Christians, we put on a nice pious little hat and say, I'm a Christian. God answers prayer. The Word of God is, and we don't read it. You know, we don't pray. Said often, if the local ATM down at the bank was giving away $1,000, and all you had to do was wait in line for 3 hours, and just wait, and you could drink your coffee, and you could talk, but you had to wait until it was your turn, you get up there, you just pushed in the button, gave you $1,000. Good majority of us would be there. I'd probably see you there. And I tried butting in line, but for 3 hours, $1,000, that's pretty good wages. But because we believe it, it's doing it. And then we say we believe God answers prayer, but we wouldn't dare pray 3 hours. Not even in a week, we wouldn't pray 3 hours sometimes. You think about what Christians have done in the past, and we see their prayer lives, and we see how they groaned in prayer, how they desired to have something for God. We read the testimonies of David Brainerd and others like that, William Carey, and we see their prayer life, and we see that, look what happened. Look what happened with George Mueller. Boy, God sure was good to him to feed all those people. You know, boy, he fed all those orphans. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? You know, he had a Bible, obviously. And in the back, George Mueller had a list of names of all these people who had gotten saved. They had check marks and a date written next to their names. Somebody had checked that there was 3 names that were not checked when George Mueller died or didn't have the date next to him. It was people that he had prayed for all his life or different times that had gotten saved. Every one of them had gotten saved. 3 names were not checked off, did not have a date next to them. And I don't know the exact chronology of it, but I believe 1 or 2 of them got saved at his funeral, and the other one got saved probably a few months later. But they got saved. There was somebody that believed. Somebody that didn't have that evil heart of unbelief. What need do you have? Do you trust God for it? Do we have a great heart of belief? That's what we should have. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We know that verse. You know, don't have a troubled heart. Believe in God. Well, that's what it is. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can. How many times do you read the phrase in the Bible, but God? There's a bad situation, but God. Yes. Oh, it's looking bad, but God delivered them. Gave them the victory because they trusted in the Lord. That evil heart of unbelief causes us to depart from the living God. We look at other religions and we say, look at these people praying to a statue. Oh, look at them. I mean, they have this false god, and he's dead. He's not even the real. He's not real. He's nothing. He's just a statue or a figment of their imagination. And they will be very devoted to that thing. And then we sit here, oh, we have the living God. We have a real God. Our God's alive! And we can sing that. We can clap our hands. And it doesn't affect what we do. To our actions, it appears as if God is dead. What difference does God make in our life? There was a study, I forget the exact percentage, but they asked Christians, it was done in the States, and I don't think it's much different than in Canada, but I believe it was something like 82% of Christians, people who say that they're born again, who say that their faith does not impact their daily life, whether it's at school or work. Their faith does not impact the way they go about their life. So they go to school, doesn't affect anything. Go to work, doesn't affect the way they live. They're no different than anybody else. You think it would at least keep them out of some trouble. Well, yeah, I don't swear like the rest of them or something. At least that would be a minimum little thing. But how about taking a stand on certain things? I remember being at the factory down here at Fleetwood and always playing that rock music. And because before I got saved, I recognized some of those songs and I knew the lyrics. I mean, I don't know what the lyrics are now in songs, which is good. But, so what I thought was, some of those lyrics are extremely evil, extremely bad, and so I wrote some of those lyrics out, and I said, you guys are broadcasting this. I said, if I said those things to a coworker, I could be in big trouble. You know, I could probably get fired, you know, for harassment or something. I said, also, look what they're saying about God. I said, I'm a Christian, I find that offensive. And I said, here's what they said about women in this song. And I wrote out the lyrics for them, and I said, now, is that not, and that's the big, you know, thing today. You don't want to say anything about a woman, you know, that would be detrimental. I said, well, here it is, blasting over your airwaves, and you're doing that. And I said, so that is very, very evil and everything. I said, you know, you could be in trouble. I said, I think you shouldn't play this music. Well, they would have a revolt if they didn't play rock music there. So they were going to do whatever they could to not do this. So the human resource manager comes and talks to me, actually has me come to his office, and he said, well, you know, we looked into this. It took him about a week. And he said, now, I guess they talked to the legal people and everything, and he said, because it is legal to broadcast this over the airwaves, and the government, the CRTC, says it is okay, then we can legally play it, and it doesn't matter. He said, so what you would have to do is take it up with the CRTC. So I did, and of course that didn't get anywhere. But if Dr. Laura, you know, says something that, you know, that is detrimental to the homosexuals, and she doesn't apologize, she's off the air. That's the situation we're in. But I wanted to take that stand. I wanted to say something about it. I wanted it to impact the place where I worked. Then one time they ended up having, on the rock station, they had a psychic on or something like that, or astrologer or something, and getting people to call in and say. So I went over. I said, what is this stuff? I said, this is sick. This is a Satanist on the air. So I went over and saw one of the managers. Hey, John, how's it going? I said, what is this stuff playing on the radio? I said, we need to change that station. I said, that is Satanism. I said, they're talking about, you know, I went on. And he's looking at me like, at first he thought I was joking, you know, because he has this big smile on his face, and he kind of, all right. So he changed it to the country station. And so, but at least we didn't have to listen to a psychic. But just crazy things. But does our faith impact our lives? Well, it should. It should just be natural. Departing from the living God. So if we don't listen to the Word of God, we don't listen to what God says, verse 12, it says, you'll have an evil heart of unbelief. Well, I don't really believe the Word of God. What's going to happen, the result is, we will depart from the living God. We will not be close to Him. Close fellowship. We will be departed from Him. We'll be separated. He'll be over there. We have no walk with him. We have no relationship, no prayer life with him, nothing. And verse 12 will apply to us. You could say Ichabod over our lives, if that is the case. I like the Bible because whenever it says something like that, there's usually a remedy right after. But exhort one another daily. Well, that's a blessing. We're supposed to exhort one another while it is called today. Yeah, don't wait till tomorrow. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, there's another problem. I think here comes the good news, and all of a sudden, well, there's another warning. But warnings are good. It's good to tell your children, don't go play on the road. Yeah? And they'll find out why if they do. Exhort one another. What does exhort mean? Encourage, build up. Today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Sin takes you farther than you want to go. One preacher said that you will do a man no sore injury than to lessen the consequences of sin in his life. Sin is evil. Sin is wicked. I suppose to the person who is a drunk, it started with one drink. He thought, oh, just a drink. It's just one. One won't hurt me. And then it leads to the next one. And then the next one. If you would have never taken that first one, you'd never have let him down that path. Things look good, but they're not good. I always talked about the way they advertise beer. You know, the best-looking people. You know, the guy with his washboard abs, you know, there he is with his beer. He didn't get those washboard abs by drinking that beer. Most people I see who drink beer look kind of the opposite. If you've ever seen anything like Cops or any of those shows, you know, you see the drunks. That's what how they ought to advertise beer, because that's more truth than advertising. I mean, you look at these people, oh, yeah, you know. They never have a shirt on, the guys. You know, the cops arrest these guys. They're probably in a grade one English level, you know. And hey, I drink Bud Dumber, you know. Aren't I something? Look at me. And it's like, that's truth. And they just beat up their wife and, you know, their third girlfriend or whatever, living girlfriend, whatever the case is. That's what it leads to. The deceitfulness of sin. Or we think, I'll just take this little amount of money. Nobody will miss it. I'll just do this little thing. Or, oh, it's not so bad. But it gets worse. Think about lying. You know, what do we tell children? You tell one lie, you have to tell another lie. And then to cover that up, you have to tell another lie. And then pretty soon you're like, yeah. You know, you just don't, you can't keep track of it anymore. What did I tell that person? What did I tell this person? I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought, you know, like God knows everything. He knows our lives, but he's not going to go and tell anybody, you know, about something in the past. But just suppose that you have elderly relatives around that know you very, very well. And they go a little senile, or a little, you know, like they're not on the same wavelength as everybody. And they start just talking about you. Oh, well, he thinks he's so holy. You know what he did 20 years ago? Mom! Shh! You know? And, you know, they know it, and they start just blabbing it on, and you're like, oh. But what if we didn't do that 20 years ago? What if we just decided, I'm going to live for God all the way through, and just do what's right? Then we don't have to worry about those things. You can sleep with a clear conscience. Tammy always asks me, you know, when the babies cry, how can you sleep through all that? I tell her, have a clear conscience. What's your problem? I don't know if she's in the nursery. But she doesn't believe me. But that's the problem. We don't listen to the Word of God. Our heart gets hardened. And it's through that we don't exhort one another. And we become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14 says, for we are made partakers of Christ. What a blessing that is. Partakers of Christ. Partakers of all what he has. Well, the Bible says we're heirs with Him, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You know, it's a blessing to get saved, right? You know you're saved. You don't know all what the Christian life has for you. But you say, I know God's real. You know, I believe the Bible. And on and on. Wouldn't it be nice to have that zeal, that initial joy that you had to continue? It certainly can. But where's our joy? Verse 15 says, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Okay, some heard, and they still provoked. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Well, there was the result of that hardness, of that sin. Verse 18, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. It was belief. And here it re-echoes that sentiment, verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's the key. Unbelief. Now, just to see, who is he talking about? Who is he, is this referencing, and does it apply to us? Well, let's go to the next chapter, chapter 4 of Hebrews. Remember he said, brethren, earlier, and he says, let us, okay, they were an example. That's what the Old Testament is written, we know that. Let us, therefore, fear. That tells me we need to watch out. We need to be concerned about this. Lest the promise of promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I don't want to come short of this. Now, verse 2, and I believe this really clears things up, brings a lot of the loose strings together. For unto us was the gospel preached. Okay, now we know we're talking about the gospel. Okay, the good news of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, resurrection, and coming again of Jesus Christ. If we trust Him, He'll save us. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That was the problem. We hear the gospel, but it's not mixed with faith. A person can come into this building and hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and if they don't mix it with faith, it's not going to do them any good. We were down at the mall, they heard the gospel. They heard how to be saved. They heard the verses from the Bible. They heard the carols that we sing from the hymn book. And they heard that. And if anybody thought, sounds good to me, I'm going to act upon that, that's exercising their faith, they would believe. They'd be saved. I heard the gospel many times before I got saved. I heard it. Sometimes I'd even say, oh, that's great. Sounds so good. But I didn't act upon it. And then there was a time that God did some things in my heart, and I thought about it, and carefully thought, and then when I actually took that step of faith, the gospel's always there. I heard it many times, but when I actually applied it, that's when I got saved, when I mixed it with faith. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Okay, talking about the Israelites. Verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? I'm going to read my note here that Schofield puts in. He said, the believer rests in a perfect work of redemption, just as God rested from a perfect work of creation. I believe that's a pretty good explanation there. He gives these examples about creation and then God resting. And we can rest assured in the knowledge that it's all Christ. He saved us. I don't need to work for salvation. It's not talking about a work salvation. But we can rest in Him. There's a rest to the people of God. It says in verse 9. You know, people will look around, trying all different things. Work, work, work for this, work for that. And it's so simple. It's faith that we need to come to God with. I know of various testimonies. I've heard of people seeking something, seeking fulfillment, seeking religion, and looking and working and striving, and people who have attained the tops of other religions and knew their religious books, and it was not satisfied. There was no rest to their souls. And finally, one day, they pick up a Bible. They read it, got mad at it, and because it spoke to them. And they didn't like what it said. And then a preacher came along and led them to the Lord. I think of a guy that his life was a mess. He just couldn't take it anymore. He tried to make the best he could, and all he did with his own life was make a complete mess. His marriage was a mess. His kids were a mess. He was a mess. Had no future, no hope. He came home, took his hat, threw it down, and he sat down in disgust, and he said, God, if you're there, if you're real, do something with my life. Show me what I need to do. He came to the end of himself. It's a good place to be. The very next day, a pastor came, knocked on his door, said, hi. I'm pastor from local Baptist church. He said, do you know right now if you died, if you go to heaven? He said, no. Was able to lead him to the Lord, turn the guy's life around, get him going the right direction. And the guy had joy unspeakable. That's only through God, because finally his soul found rest. I think of Brother Forney, who was here last year, and he said that he talked to this guy that was up in the Arctic, an Eskimo, I guess you call him Inuit now. And he said he was dealing with him, and he was not well. He was very sick. But he went to his house, and he was sitting in this big chair, and he got talking, and he reached down in between the seat cushion and the chair and pulled an old Bible that was tattered and falling apart. I don't know if you remember that story when he was here. And it was an old King James Bible. And he said, somebody gave me this when I was a child. Now he's an old man and he's dying. And he said, and I've asked everybody what they can tell me about him. Can you tell me anything about God? He's asked priests, Anglican priests, Catholic priests, anybody that was up there. And he said, nobody could ever tell him anything that satisfied him. And he'd always been seeking, always seeking, looking, never able to rest. And Brother Forney was able to tell him about Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ died for him, and he could trust in him. And the man got saved. It wasn't long afterwards, he was in the hospital, and he was dying. He was on his deathbed. And they said he hadn't said anything in a few days. And at that time when he had met him, he called him a Jesus man. So that's what he was to him, in his broken English. So he hadn't spoken in a few days. Brother Forney went in, prayed with him, and everything. And just a look in his face, a look in his eyes, and he held hands as they were praying, and he said, thanks, Jesus man. Because he had delivered him that rest all his life. He's looking, what's the truth? How can I find out? And that day he got saved. For he that has entered into his rest, verse 10 says, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Then we have the great verse on the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What a tremendous blessing to know that we can have the Word of God. Excuse me. And the Word of God gets in our hearts. It gets in our soul. And it shows us what is what. It shows us as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All those questions that we have. Why this? Why that? You know, why is the world such a nut house? You know, why are we so crazy? You know, oh, the global warming. Oh, this. You know, oh, let's change the gender thing here. Let's let boys go into girls' washroom and vice versa. To us, who have a bit of a different, or big difference of a frame of reference, the Bible, we say, they're nuts. And they are. And these people may have great education. They may have their master's degrees and whatever. But they don't have where all knowledge is from. It's from the Word of God, from God, who true knowledge. And these people come along and they'll put this out, and they'll put that out, and this thought. I think that UFOs are, I mean, these people with PhDs think, well, there's spaceships over there, and you see there's life on Mars, and some people, some otherwise intelligent people think, we're actually the Martians. You know, we left Mars and came here. I mean, people really believe that nonsense. How stupid can you get? Because they don't get it from the Word of God. Because a man left to himself, you know, well, let's say about children. But it says here, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Of the heart. If we will get into the Word of God, let it discern our hearts, thoughts. It's going to guide us. That's why William Carey, he got in the Word of God and he sees the verse that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He sees no witness in India. He goes to the church people. Well, they were in their religion. They weren't in the Bible. And it says, and they said, oh no, if God's concerned about converting the heathen, he'll do it. He doesn't need our help. He said, that's not what the Bible says. And he meditated on the Word of God. He said, I have to do what God said. And he ended up going to India. Do we let religion, do we let others tell us what is not in the Bible? Do we let the world's philosophy confuse us and confound us? Or do we let the Word of God do its work? Today, if you would hear His heart and His Word, harden not your hearts. That's where we started. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts. And He gives all the examples. What do we need to do? We need to take the Word of God, when He says something, and obey it. That's the only way we can have peace, only way we can have rest, only way we can have any satisfaction out of this life. You know, go ahead and try to make $1 million, or a few million dollars, and that's what your goal is, and it's going to be empty when you get there. There is a football player, I have no idea who this was, because I don't follow it, but very successful, got the winning touchdown, won the Super Bowl years ago, and everybody's excited, and when they get to the dressing room, the media is in there, and the guy's sitting there, and he looked dejected, and they went up to him, and they said, hey, aren't you excited? Yeah, and he said, how come you're not elated? How come you're not jumping around? And they asked him that. You got the winning touchdown, you're the star of the game, the MVP. And he had a question. He said, is this it? All his life, he'd been going to all those, you know, the little kids' games and the all-star games. And, you know, just like we do here with hockey, you know, you drive them all over the place. Oh, there's a tournament over here. He said, everything, training, this, college, this, practice, you know, football team, make it, you know, all-star game, everything. Make all those things, get here, Super Bowl. He said, I've attained all those things I've been finally working for. Get the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, and it's not all what it was cut out to be. He said it was empty. Is what we're going for what God wants us to go for? We need to take the Word of God and get into it, and when God speaks to us, obey it. Very simple. The last verse in chapter 4 says, let us therefore come boldly. It's just talking about a high priest, which is Jesus. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need to listen to what God says, do it, and it's not easy sometimes, because you're going to go against the flow, even of a lot of Christians. But then it says that find grace to help in time of need, and God will give that. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the Bible. We thank You for the Word of God. Thank You how You speak to our hearts, how You speak through this book. I pray, Father, You'd help us to apply it to our lives, to obey it. No matter what the consequences, no matter what anybody else says, help us not to harden our hearts. Help us not to be deceived by sin. Help us to be enlightened by the Word of God. I pray that you would encourage us to do that. I pray that we would hear your word and act upon it and obey it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.